pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
French?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page?
Here.
Salomon?
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping math controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. This request will be automatically respected. We have two items, approval of the February 12th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented, and approval of the recommendation of the Parks and Recreation Board to accept the resignation of Todd Smith and appoint Robert Week, I think I have that correct, for the board for a remainder of a four-year term expiring December 31st, 2020. Any comments from anyone?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Any further discussion? Take your pick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say aye. Thank you. Moving on to hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items.
My name is Dave.
Yes, sir. Please state your name.
My name is Derek Schroeder. I live at 910 East Main Street. It's about two blocks from the airport. And I'd like to address the snow removal that goes on overnight by private companies for some of the private stores and stuff around here. I'm about two blocks from the airport. So when these trucks come up with their 12 tons of snow, they're pretty loud. They dump their snow. They turn around right away. They come back down the hill with these loud, empty dump trucks. They're bouncing all over the snow and ice. So every time they make one trip up there, it's two trips in front of my house. And I've been addressing this since 2013. Nothing's changed over the years. I think the airport needs to have a curfew, especially here in the school week and the work week, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Or maybe they could just find another place to take it, like the industrial park. You know, last night, the industrial park was quieter than my house. They hauled snow from 6 to 2 a.m. last night. Last Thursday, it was 7 to 3 a.m. 2 weeks ago, Monday, it was 10 at night to 6 a.m. in the morning. And we're not talking about a dozen trips or so. Over an eight-hour course, if the guy's got two trucks, it's about 200 trips. If another company's got three or four, of course, the trips are going to go up. I just think it's unreasonable for them to do that during the overnight hours. You know, these are private companies doing it for profit. Point City doesn't charge them a disposal fee of any kind, so they're making pretty good money doing this. I just think they could find a better way to do it or take it somewhere else. Or not do it during school weeks. Such things. I guess that's about it.
I appreciate the comments. We've had conversations on the phone with this topic, and I've referred this topic to staff. And I know that Mr. Schroeder has talked to Mr. Kane and I think our chief of police about this, so it is an ongoing topic. I think your presence here is for the rest of the commissioners to be aware of your concerns.
That's correct, and I've been here for the same reason. I came here last winter. I contacted you last winter. The guy that was in charge last year is no longer with Point City, so Tim Voss is kind of playing catch up this year, but it's just too loud. It's too inconvenient. You know, it's one trip up, loud motors, the next trip it's empty, it's jostling around. It just seems unreasonable to do that overnight like that for profit. It'd be different if Point City was doing it for public safety and so forth like that, but it's not. It's just private, for-profit companies. Like I said, they're getting to dump up there for free. They do what they want, when they want. They dump as much as they want. Point City doesn't know anything that they're doing up there. It just doesn't seem like it's right. Just inconveniences me. I got 3 hours of sleep last night, 2 hours of sleep the last time. When it happened Monday, 2 weeks ago, I couldn't even go to work. I didn't even sleep at night. And like I said, I've been pursuing this pretty intensely since 2013, and nothing's changed.
I appreciate the comments, and it's not really open for discussion at this point, but so that you're aware that it's staff is aware, staff's working on it. So, and Mike, you said they're running again tonight, correct?
No, that was last night. They were running. I called Mr. Schroeder to give him a heads up.
I appreciate your courtesy call. That was nice. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're trying to get them to find a balance between the two. And I appreciate you coming and letting us know your concerns. And frankly, I like your suggestion about the industrial park to see if that might be an option either for this season or next. But we do have some lots there. And those are closer to the river, which was one of the issues that was raised earlier. But that's something that we could explore.
Okay.
Would they go up East Main or would they stay on M-75?
Well, we're trying to find out a route. You know, there isn't another route to the airport other than basically going up East Main, unless you're going up another residential street, Beardsley or Brockley or something of that nature. We're using the industrial park or the business park, as it's now called. There may be a way to avoid residential areas. That's one of the things that we have been trying to find is another place to put it where I don't know why the industrial park didn't come up before.
Yeah, because you and I talked about different locations, and it's every location you still go through a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, we talked about up at North Moline and things of that nature and its other locations. And historically, it has been the airport, but that doesn't mean that there can't be another alternate way. And we're trying to provide that service that we have provided, you know, predates me to the business community for dealing with snow as well.
No promises, but we are aware of it. I think the administration's been receptive to talking to you and listening. Again, I can't promise you satisfaction, but so noted that the staff, including our department heads, are all aware of your concerns. So, moving on to any other citizen comments. Thank you. I don't have anything on the correspondence. Anybody else?
I don't have anything.
Mike, you want to do the city manager report?
Yeah, a few items. As the city commission is aware, last Tuesday, the Boyne Valley Township Board approved a motion signaling their intent to change the provision of EMS services from our department to Jordan Valley EMS. This will create a similar situation to what existed when they first established their own EMS department, which was around 2004. We have received preliminary indications that they're looking for an equal first transition, and we'll keep it posted as this matter progresses. The MDEQ Brownfield application that was approved by the City Commission at our last meeting to help with environmental issues at the old Great Acres site has been approved by the DEQ and awarded the $106,000 that we requested. So that project's moving forward. I give kudos to our Department of Public Works personnel for their efforts to keep our roads and sidewalks plowed as safe and as passable as possible during the recent winter storm events. It was informed earlier today that 9 and 10 News reported that this winter has been the highest snowfall in 10 years, as reported at the Gaylord Station, weather station. Most school days off in 10 years, and the most number of days of blizzard warnings since 2007. And currently there's a forecast for another 3 to 4 inches of snow overnight tonight. So, for 2 months in a row, the bad weather has forced the cancellation of the Charlevoix countywide officials meeting. One last night was obviously canceled as well. We'll let you know if that meeting is rescheduled or if we will have to find another use for all the pulled pork that Barb has bought on the 2 times that she has set up a menu for us. So, outside of some power outages and some tree limbs that were down, we fared pretty well on Sunday and Monday's bad weather. We are monitoring our salt usage, which has continued higher than normal due to the number of thaw, rain, freeze, weather events that we've had this season. And we have received our supplemental salt order. So we received all the salt that we have ordered for the season, but we're looking to see if we might need some more. Our 10 new round tables arrived last Friday. That provides alternatives on how the spaces here in this building can be used. We have one set up right outside this room with its maximum of 8 chairs in case you're interested in taking a look at that. At the commission's places is our most recent 12-year budget history for your use and reference during our upcoming budget processes. And we've received an invitation from the Charlevoix Conservation Districts for the reveal of their new community room on Thursday, March 14th. They have a ribbon cutting scheduled for 3 p.m. and will be serving food until 6:30, maybe 12 o'clock. And they're located just down the street at 303 North Street, and their formal invitation will be included in next agenda packet. And just one more reminder to top off the other reminders you've got from me and the Michigan Municipal League with regards to the early bird cutoff for the Capitol Conference. And if you have any plans on that, if you could let us know as soon as possible. The early bird ends on Thursday. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Commissioners, I do have one question. What is our policy on downtown removing the snow from the curbs?
Tim, do you want to address that?
Sure. So our policy is immediately after the snow event, the first morning that is after the snow event, we go in and we plow a pathway up against the buildings, first thing before the business is open. And then after we're done treating the roads, we come back usually within 72 hours in order to clean up the parking spaces and remove that pile of snow that ends up between the curb line and that sidewalk, if you will, kind of in and around the little trees and other street furniture. That's our current policy.
Okay. Well, it seems to work compared to task. So.
Can I add a little bit to that?
Please.
Every year at the October, November-ish, we send out a letter to the businesses because they are technically responsible for their own area. The work that the DPW comes through and does is a bonus, and we say we'll help them out when there is accumulation. And this year, the businesses have been so happy with how it's been going, and last year I had a call every single day this time of year about how the snow was piling up. So just thanks to the guys for all their hard work doing it, and I think the businesses have really appreciated the system that we have done.
Yes, Kim?
We've had a lot of calls with compliments that this year the sidewalks have been very clean. That they've went through, crossing the street at the ends there, and so we've had a lot of compliments, and I sent a letter to the DPW addressing that because we've also had a lot of good comments.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? We can address who's going to the conference later at the end of the meeting, if that's okay. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Moving on to the financial statement is under the reports of officers, board, and senate committee. Any questions for Cindy?
I just have one question with the Boyne Valley Township PMS moving to the Jordan Valley system. Will that have a budgetary impact?
There will be an impact. We'll be meeting with John this week and try to tune that in a little bit further, but yes. Yeah.
Okay. We do not have any old business under new business. Item A, floodplain management provision. Yes, Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the second reading of the floodplain ordinance. This ordinance came about as a product of the map modernization that FEMA is doing. They're updating all the maps in the state and county or in the country, and this process has been going on for probably the last 15 years. The city is currently a participant in the flood insurance rate map program. It was started in 1982, and what this does is just adopts the new maps and insures anyone who already is insured through the flood insurance program that their coverage can continue, and also anyone that wants to participate in the future will be available to them. The adoption of this ordinance will not change any policy or procedure city. Currently, the county, as the building official for the city, does enforce all provisions through the building code. This ordinance just updates the language as FEMA wants it to be now and incorporates all the new maps. So with that, this will be provided you for adoption. And if you have any questions, I'll be more happy to answer.
Any comments from staff or the public? Yes, Mike?
Again, a reminder, I believe this is an optional program. We don't have to do this. We don't have to participate in the program. We have a number of properties that do take advantage of this, and if we didn't participate in the program, they'd have to buy their insurance elsewhere, and we believe would be a higher price.
Any other comments? We'll go to the board. Ron?
I guess the only question I have is there any cost to it for the city?
Not that I'm aware of, other than Scott has put a lot of time and effort into trying keeping this, keeping up with the FEMA requirements.
Just staff time to answer questions and go through this process, but no direct cost to the city.
No, it's fine. With the cancellation of the countywide meeting, this is going to be the topic.
Yes.
Will be another opportunity to gain that similar information in the countywide meeting.
I think you're probably pretty well up to speed on it.
Okay.
I think our hope was that a lot of other communities would, and organizations would probably likewise be brought up to speed. I think there'd be something to be gained out of it. I think a lot of it depends on if we have another meeting scheduled or not. I don't think it's as critical for us. If there's something specific that you need, I'm sure Scott can probably more than answer.
Great. Thank you.
Scott?
I can't imagine that we'd say no vote for it. I mean, if it's something that's provided and it saves people who are in those floodplains.
Thank you. You?
I'm good.
I'm good too, and would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that the City Commission approve the ordinance addressing floodplain management provisions of the State Construction Code. Is that correct, Scott?
That'd be correct, yes.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to 9B. Possible MDOT fund resolution. Yes, Tim.
Thank you, Mayor. So, always excited to bring free money recommendations to the City Commission. This is a new grant program that was just announced about 2 weeks ago by MDOT. It's a new category called Category B, targeted at municipalities that are 10,000 or less, looking to do road projects. They're going to score these applications specifically to get more points in your overall rating if you combine these projects, these road projects, with other utilities such as water and sewer replacements. You would garner more points. So we have a great fit with the Cedar and Terrace projects, which have been under planning and design for some time now. We think the timing is perfect. Applications are due April 5th, so we need a resolution of support from the City Commission should we wish to apply for the grant funding. The information that's been provided to date, and that's still coming, MDOT is still publishing new information. We would be requesting the maximum amount, which is $250,000, towards a project which has a little over $500,000 in road costs associated with it. So our match would be just a little bit more than the $250,000 we're asking for, which is also one of the requirements of the grant program. So anticipating everything kind of falls in place like we think it will help defer roughly half of the road component cost of the project moving forward. So as I mentioned, there's still some information that Mike and I and our consulting engineers are working on to clarify with the actual application, but you have a draft that's in your packet, and we're requesting the City Commission to move forward with that application.
Thank you. Is there any other comments from staff or the public? Mike?
One of the issues that we're looking at is just the timing of the project as well, too. We're in the process right now of bidding this project as it is in case we were not successful with the grant. So it is currently out for bids at this point. Depending on if we are successful in this grant application and everything goes forward with it, we would just reject those bids and then end up having to rebid the process. Depending on the timing requirements from MDOT, this project may be moved into the next calendar year. So those are some of the things that we're taking a look at right now as we're going forward. But we want to make sure that, again, as Tim mentioned, other than some questions with regards to scheduling, it looks like the pieces are lining up and this looks like a real attractive grant for us. Overall, the estimates on the Terrace and Cedar Street projects, not just the road components, but overall with the water and sewer work and storm sewer work that's being involved, and those complete reconstructions is just under $1 million. So this would be about 25% of the total project cost. So again, we're working, again, as this is brand new, we're thinking that by us being able to come out with a shovel-ready project that'll help us in being competitive with regards to getting this grant. But again, there's some unknowns that we're still working our way through. But at this point, we're still recommending that the commission go forward and give us the authorization to proceed on this.
Thank you. I'm confused why we'd have to rebid it. Why wouldn't they just give us the...
Because it'd have to go through the state bidding process.
Got it, okay.
Much like when we had to do Division Street or any of the ones that involve state funds, or like we're doing right now with North Lake Street as well.
And right now we're totally funding this local street funds?
Correct, which is basically Act 51 funds plus the contribution from the general fund.
Mike, is that, does part of it come from the water wastewater fund as well?
Yes, exactly. For those components of the project, yes. For the water lines and the sewer lines.
You have anything else to you? We'll start with you.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Sally?
So we had the funds.
Yes.
Funds.
Yes.
So if successful, will that release $250,000 in general fund monies to invest in other
yes.
projects? So it would be that amount. So that would be quite a benefit to us.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, again, that's $250,000 that we're basically planning to spend on this project that will not have to be spent on it. So it leaves it free for other uses.
And that would be in the next year's budget, right, Mike? It's not in the current year budget, is it?
I'd have to go back and look and see. I believe parts of it were in this year's budget because part of this project we looked to do last year and then we held it off because I think we bid it, the prices came back too high. So any money that's not used will just be carried forward until the next budget year. But assuming that this project goes forward one way or the other with one of these two funding mechanisms, the vast majority of it, if not all of it, would be in next year's fiscal year.
Ron?
I guess the only question I have, being at MDOT grant, is Davis-Bacon rules apply to this project?
I'm not sure. That is something that we did ask Larry to take a look at. I don't recall that right off the top of my head.
Because that certainly changes our cost considerably.
Yeah, I don't think we'd make a quarter of the project or half of the road cost, though. They do generally increase the cost somewhat. And just going through an MDOT project usually does, too, because there's more reporting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rod,
excited?
Thank you.
Well,
I'm excited that this is an opportunity. I'm not expecting windfall if we get it, so that's great news.
Well, I got to compliment Tim and Larry from C2AE. I mean, we've just jumped right on this. I mean, like a week or two, just a couple weeks ago, that I was telling you that this was a possibility. And once the state came out, that they were right on it.
Can the city can apply, it's good till 2022, it'll be refunded, and the city can apply every year with one project?
Yeah, that's what the initial grant announcement said, that you can apply in multiple years. My suspicion is, depending on how many applications they get, that might, you know, they'll probably factor that in into future awards, but we'll try every year.
I just have a technical question. How do you determine what streets you're going to do in what order? Is there a...
It's a combination of a variety of factors. We look at the condition of the road itself, and then we coordinate that with what, if any, utility work is necessary with regards to it. So we're not only looking at the street, but we're looking at what's underneath the street as well, too. And this ranks as a high priority, especially with regards to some of the infrastructure underneath the roads as well. So it's a composite thing. You know, Tim looks at one set of factors that we marry together with what Mark has to deal with regards to the quality of of all the components.
Are all of our roads rated right now?
Excuse me?
Are all of our roads
rated?
Rated, yeah.
We have in the past, I think it's probably time, and that's something that Tim and I have talked about a little bit, is, you know, updating our PASER ratings with regard to that component of it. And, you know, as we're going through the SAW grant, that's going to help us give us more of a picture as to some of the utilities that we have underneath it and give us some new priorities with regards to, you know, where some sanitary sewer lines or storm sewer lines might need work as well, too.
Okay, I would look for a motion.
I would move to approve the modification to establish a request for $250,000 in funding, designate an agent to test for the existence of funds, and commit to implementing a maintenance program for the reconstruction of Cedar Street and Terrace Street as funded by the State Transportation Economic Development Fund, Category B program. Further, I would recommend the city manager to execute the documents required for the grant application.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
So,
chances are I won't be going either.
Okay.
Dean, if there was an opportunity to go with a neighboring community, sometimes we've shared rides with East Jordan or Charlotte Way or something of that nature, would that change?
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, there are some good sessions. I mean, they're going to be talking. I know they have the director of the state's program that's overseeing the marijuana issue. And I know that's an important issue for us as we're going forward as well. Obviously, I'll be there, but sometimes it's nice to have different eyes and perspectives with regards to it as well.
Yeah, so. Let me know, especially if you're doing a one-day thing.
Yeah.
And you say that Wednesday would be the day to go if you're doing one day, not Tuesday?
Correct.
Yeah. So that leaves me out. Okay.
Again, I would encourage you to all to individually take a look at the agenda. It seems like they've got a more robust agenda on their website this year than they have in years past. It seems like they've always been guessing as to what's happening when. And I was looking at their website again this morning, and they had a picture of the governor, and I was looking to say, okay, is the new governor going to be there to talk? And that, so it's always interesting to hear what the new governor's perspectives and plans are going to be. Obviously, there'll be a lot of reporting about that afterwards, but it's sometimes nice to see it, to get that firsthand impression.
But I am correct. And Thursday, the 21st, is our all-day budget meeting.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So.
Did we schedule something before that?
Not yet. I'm still working on the calendar for that.
Okay. What you're referring to was the meeting that was going to be the 14th.
We talked about that, but that hasn't been confirmed yet, that date.
Oh, okay.
We talked about a preliminary prior to going into the budget work sessions.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that clarifies all of us speaking together here and clarifies who make it. So, Dean, you're it, if you so choose.
All right.
All right. Anything else we need to learn? Moving on to announcements. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 12th at 7 p.m. And at 12:32, I'll make a motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.